Hello and welcome to another week of the Sister Girl News Radio Show, a place where every woman has a voice. Your Sister Girl News Radio Show hosts are none other than Felicia Levesque and yours truly, the Candace V. Hi, Felicia.
Hey, everybody. Nice to finally talk back with people again.
I know. It's great to be back on the show. I'm so excited. This is our first show that we have been doing since we had a little bit of a hiatus there for a while, but we're back now, so we're really excited about it. Right, Felicia?
Yes, totally. We're in guys. We're older. We're wiser. Yes.
Well, I'm not claiming older. Anyway, but we'll get to that later. As always on the Sister Girl News Radio Show, we are talking about exciting and entertaining topics from a woman's perspective, important topics like business, relationships, style, and health. We also interview experts from around the country, and our show topic today is called Be Delicious, Recipes, Tools, and Tips to Power Your Inner Chef. Our guest is Sadiqua Williams, and we're going to go right into talking to Sadiqua a little bit about how we can empower our inner chef and be a little bit more delicious. So hello, Sadiqua.
Hello, and hello to everyone who can hear my voice.
Hello, great. I'm so glad you could be on the show today.
We'd love to
jump into talking a little bit about, you know, how we can power inner chefs and how we can be delicious. But before that, we'd like to get to know you a little bit. So can you tell our audience a little bit about yourself?
I am a mother of four boys with four different boy energies. And I am also a self-proclaimed health inspirer, if you will. And I use food as my platform. I've been teaching cooking for over a decade, healthy eating particularly. And right now, I'm a Pamper Chef consultant.
Okay, so I do have one good question. So how did you figure out that food would be your passion?
Well, that's a good one. That happened by happenstance. I've always been a passionate person. And I've always, when I was younger, I wanted to be a lawyer. I was always about people should know, people should be defended, and, you know, just have a person speaking for them and letting them know what's what. My true passion to the core really is informing people and bringing awareness to people about our amazing bodies and our amazing planet, actually. And just so happened, I love to eat and I love food. So I really just use food as a platform to talk about our bodies and our planet and family in general.
In discovering this passion, how did that passion for cooking and helping people empower their souls through food, how did that lead you to where you are now, what you're doing with Pamper Chef?
Oh, it led me right to them, because with Pamper Chef, it helps incorporate healthy eating, because cooking at home with your family, for one, it brings us back together at mealtimes, which kind of has been lost to a certain degree for some families. And secondly, it's natural. If you're chopping up carrots, you're going to throw one in your mouth, a piece in your mouth. So without even thinking about it, when you start cooking your own foods at home, and we sell cooking tools that get those meals done quicker, then you start eating fresh veggies without even realizing that you do more, you know, easily, because you're just munching as you go.
Okay, so you teach people how to cook, right?
Yes.
So what is one of the best tips you share with them, like during one of your sessions?
There's lots of tips that I share, actually. For one, the biggest one would be believing in yourself and believing that you can do it. Like, a lot of people are like, I'm not really, you know, I don't really know how to cook, and it takes too long. So one of my tips is, for real, it takes too long because you probably don't have the right tools. You got to get you some good time-saving tools. And then, secondly, you got to get help from everyone who's eating, basically, because, again, when I speak to people about eating at home and not eating out of a box that much or not eating out of a can that much, I know that's not, you know, not possible for some people. Well, when I ask mom who's cooking, mom's the only one cooking. Mom's not the only one eating. So another tip outside of, you know, what people would normally think would be, everybody should help. Your teenager can put the salad together. Your four-year-old can, you know, snap peas. Like, everyone can get in there and get helping. And just by default, because you're around the table or in the kitchen or wherever, or they could do it their own time, you know, you can kind of compromise a little bit. But because you're doing that, one of the best tips I'll be giving you is getting closer to the family. Get you some good tools to get the job done much faster, much quicker, and get in there. So, for instance, we have a mandolin. And you, instead of slicing the onion by hand, you can do that quickly. A lot of people say, well, just give me a knife and a cutting board. I can do that right quick. It's not going to be faster than a mandolin. And I have a whipped cream maker, let's say. You make whipped cream in 30 seconds.
What's a mandolin?
Oh, I'm sorry. A mandolin is...
My professional cooking expertise involves lining up all of the pastaroni ingredients and making them in the microwave.
So a mandolin. Okay. So a mandolin.
If I make it on the stove instead of the microwave, we are in hot cotton. I'm just letting you know.
Oh, okay. Well, you could still. I used to believe that you couldn't be healthy, if you will, if you ate out of a microwave, or if you used a microwave. And I have since evolved, like us all, becoming a mother. I still don't own a microwave. But you don't necessarily have to put boxed food in your microwave. You can put fresh veggies and fresh even fruits if you're making a dessert or something in the microwave. So it's not necessarily what I've been learning and teaching myself and others. It's not necessarily only the fact that you're using the microwave, but you can put fresh fruits and fresh veggies in that microwave. And because the microwave is fast, you know, obviously that's probably why you're using it over the stove, a mandolin is just as faster. So if you want to get that food in the microwave fast, you would use a mandolin. And a mandolin is a little apparatus. It's just, mandolin is really just a fancy word for slicing things, slicing foods particularly. Very quickly, you put them on, you put it, like, let's say one side of it has these little grooves in it. You poke the onion or the potato in the grooves. You hold it over the blade, slice, 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 slice. You can slice 10 slices very quickly.
Like a little choppy slider.
Yeah, but choppers chop and the mandolin slice.
Okay.
So that's the difference.
But it's like a boxy thing that catches the slices or no?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Ours don't come with a box. Ours come, it's just, you know, ours come where it has grooves in it. So you can set it right over top of the bowl and slice right into your bowl.
Felicia,
I just love the
so nice about
I love the technical words Candace is using. The boxy thing that's underneath the mandolin doesn't have
I'm a firm believer. If you add a Y on the end of everything, it becomes technical. Okay, the boxy thing, the slicey thing. You know, that's a technical term, and I'm gonna keep using it. All right. So obviously, other than real quick, this makes me laugh that you said this because it made me think about one very funny story. And Felicia knows the story, so she always messes with me about it. But I didn't know how to heat food up without a microwave for a long time. So my sister, when I was much younger, my sister was in the middle of moving from one home to another home. And so I was in charge of watching my niece and nephew, her two kids, while she was moving some things early in the morning. And the night before, we had had, like, hamburger helper or something, you know, like the cheesy macaroni noodle one. And I had come downstairs to make their breakfast. She was like, you know, before she left, she said, make their breakfast for them. They have leftovers. I was like, okay. So I come downstairs, and I'm like making their food with love, girl. I'm like, I got three plates lined up. I just scooped out the food, and I'm like, moved it apart so everything will heat evenly. And then I take the first plate to go towards the microwave, and I'm like looking around the room, and I'm like spinning in circles because there was no microwave. She'd already moved the microwave. And then I like looked at the stove and the oven, and I was just like, I don't know what to do. I was like, I didn't know how do you heat anything up without a microwave? You know, I put everything back inside of the container and went and bought them some food at McDonald's.
Oh, God bless America.
Okay. I can do now.
But you know what I find interesting, what you were saying about getting the family involved? I feel like sometimes, like, even if somebody who does the majority of the cooking for the family, whether it's the husband or the wife or the boyfriend or girlfriend, whomever, they're like, that's their space, and they don't want people to, like, evade their space. So they're really cautious of allowing their family to even participate in cooking. So I think that's one big thing, because even me, like, I'm like, Chris is not old enough, but he really is. And I started talking to my sister about this. I'm like, when we were younger, we were cooking at 6. We were making grilled cheese. We can do little things on the stove. So, you know, why not allow him to do those things? So I'm actually being more open to him helping me in the kitchen.
Right. Because us mothers who do a lot, mainly we do most of the cooking, and some of us begin to have resentment that fathers aren't helping. Well, fathers didn't really know how to help as kids, and they weren't even allowed in the kitchen, or they didn't have to go in the kitchen, whatever the reason. They just only ate. That was the only contribution to food, they eating it. Some of them don't even have to wash dishes. Then that becomes like social issues or, you know, relationship issues when they get into a relationship. And it teaches him, first of all, just by sitting there, you get to have a better conversation. And that's what Pampers Chef, that's what's one of our number one mission. So just by sitting there, you're going to be having a conversation with him because you're going to be talking to him and chopping. You can even make it a math moment. Cut four pieces.
Yeah.
Cut four pieces and 2 inches.
That's what we do.
We make it a learning moment. We try, and so I make him read the ingredients off the back and like what's in stuff and try to pronounce those words. So, you know, I try to make it a teaching moment. It really, really changed kind of our relationship.
Great. That's fantastic, Ashley.
That's interesting. So to kind of go on that, that's a great teaching moment. But I think some of the reasons why people don't really go and cook is because they have a fear that they're going to make a mistake or they're going to do something terrible, you know? So, like, what is the biggest mistake that people make while cooking? What's some ways they can avoid them?
What's the way that they can avoid having a mistake?
What's the biggest mistake people make when they're cooking? And then how can they avoid that mistake?
Okay, so for most people, sometimes because I used to teach cooking classes, so I don't teach them as much. Pampers Chef is slightly different because I'm selling tools, showing people how to get food done faster. But when I go to their homes and it's one-on-one, a lot of times, especially particularly in my culture, I'm African-American, the biggest mistake we make is cooking the flavor out of our foods. Like literally, we put the pot of greens on all day. We cook the carrots and they're like very, very soft. We cook the string beans and they're very, very soft. So my point is, once you start, because if you think about it, especially when you're chopping and slicing those fresh veggies, they all have their own flavor, and they taste good when the flavors are combined. So think of any burger. If you like onions, it's like I can't even have it without the onion, or I can't have it without the cheese or the ketchup, because of those two different flavors that when they come together as one, they're delicious. So if you're cooking and you're cooking the flavor out of your food, then when you go to taste it, you're going to like, oh, it needs salt when you're looking for flavor. Right, and actually it really doesn't need flavor. So one of the biggest mistakes is just that, cooking too long. So if you just turn it down lower or take it off sooner, preferably take it off sooner, then once you taste it and you taste all those flavors come together, then you probably just need like a dash of Himalayan salt, you know, or something like that. So one of the biggest mistakes, again, and then most importantly, because remember, my passion is telling people about their amazing body and our amazing planet. And the longer you cook that fruit or vegetable, which you know was alive, and it has calcium and minerals and vitamins, the more you cook them, the more you kill the nutrients out of that food, quite literally. So it actually, not only does it kill the nutrients, the flavor, because the flavor goes along with the nutrients. A lot of people don't realize that. And so does the color. So the more nutrients you kill, the more flavor you kill. And then you have to offset that without even knowing it. You have to offset it by adding salt.
Okay. So I steam my vegetables. I got that. I don't overcook them. But them greens, you talk about that pot of greens, you still have to be corrected. We don't cook it all day. I cook it all night and all day. It got to be on them. My pot of greens got to be on for 24 hours before we eat them.
Wait,
do you know what collard greens are high in?
Iron, right?
Collard greens. Yeah, they're high in iron, they're high in fiber, and they are also
cook it all night and all day?
No, but let me tell you what you cooked away, and probably the 11th hour, or maybe even the 5th hour, for that matter.
The 5th hour. 24 hours.
Right, yeah, that calcium. Yeah. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of our greens are, and collards are one of them.
Yeah, they do have calcium,
very high in calcium, very high. Yeah. So a lot of people are like, I got to get my milk to get my calcium, and then they have lactose problems, or they have a weight problem because, you know, milk is designed to make baby cows fat. Like, our milk is designed to make our babies fat. So that's why milk is so fattening. Not that I'm saying you shouldn't have milk. I'm just saying we need to get our calcium from cow milk, and that's actually not only the only source. We can get our calcium from a green vegetable, right, that not only is not going to make us overweight because it's not designed to make us overweight, but it's high in fiber. And so after we eat it and it goes down into our system and our bodies get the calcium out of that fiber, out of that collard, what's left is the fiber from the collards, and that's going to cleanse our intestinal tract. So everything about eating collards, especially when they haven't been overcooked.
I sit on the cooker for like 5 hours.
Well, see,
I
was just about to say that. Yes, if you're used to having them cooked for 24 hours, slow up. You know, do 23 hours, then jump from 23 to 20 hours. Slowly but surely, stop cooking all of the. Instead of saying stop cooking it to death or any other negative way, or you look at it in a positive way. Stop cooking all of it, or don't cook all of the nutrients out of your food. And when you look at it that way, you're like, wait, my little man get to have calcium tonight with us.
So
and
when
I really
you cook
do
your
say
greens,
that.
You cook them for 5 hours.
I don't cook them for any hours.
Okay.
I don't.
Oh,
I cook them very differently,
on.
Actually, than I
how do you
was
cook
raised.
Your greens?
Okay, please tell us this.
Okay,
yeah,
so.
I need to know this. This is a very important.
Okay, this is very
here.
Different, and actually, this is not original. This was given to me by someone who was from Trinidad, and I believe it's what's the green they use over there? It escapes me at the moment. In any event, a callaloo. So I said, okay, I'm going to try this with collard greens. So anyway, I have, which is very important, a very good knife because, you know, you're dealing with. First of all, let me back up. I'm growing my own, which I am just so happen growing my own collards. But also another thing I noticed that those big, huge, humongous collards that we think we're getting good because we have all these big leaves, they're super tough. And that's another reason why you feel like you have to cook them for 24 hours because they're super tough. So the next time you're in the market, preferably a farmer's market, because that means your collards were grown locally and they have the most nutrition when they're grown locally. Get the smaller ones because they're tender and they don't have to cook that long. So then you get those. You got a good knife. And you chiffonade. How do you say chiffonade? What's another word for chiffonade? You thinly slice them, like almost like you would coleslaw. Not as thin, or it could be, you know. Then I salt. Yep, with my mandolin, right? Slice the onions right quick. They go in there. I have a garlic press. Put 2-3 garlics in there. Put some ginger in there. Then I'll put some tomatoes in there. Fresh is good. Is best. Can is good, but fresh is best. So once they cook up and they're, like, delicious and it smells nice, as soon as you look at it, you're like, man, I'm doing good right now. And you feel good about yourself because you're looking at those good veggies. Then you add, are you ready? This is very different. You add coconut milk. And you're going to add that. You add a whole can. You add a can of coconut milk. And then that's going to be, like, turn pinkish because the tomatoes. And it's going to smell super nice. Oh, I forgot to say, too, you need to put cumin in there. And then, and thyme. And so once they marinate and dance for a little bit, those ingredients, then you just put your collards in there. And don't put the top on them. Even for your 24-hour one, see if this works. I don't know because you cook them for so long. But if you don't put the top on your collards, they don't turn that deep, deep green. They stay a brighter green, still dark because the leaf itself is dark. But, yes, they'll stay lighter. And, again, I don't want crunchy collards either unless, you know, I'm eating right off the garden right quick and I just get a bite or so. But I cook it for a little while, then it's done. And it is so good. Oh, at the end, once I taste that delicious flavor, then I'll say, okay, I need a dash of salt. That's another tip I give people. I always tell them to salt their food at the end. Let all the flavors get together because I promise if you taste it in the middle of it before it's, you know, had a time to mesh, you might think it needs salt and add salt too soon. Always add it at the end.
I see you didn't put one ingredient in those greens.
I
didn't
put one
any
ingredient.
Pork. You didn't put any pork in the greens.
Oh, that's
oh my God.
Not this time.
Oh, my God, Felicia.
Yeah, not this time.
You know, we always put pork in our greens. Look, get a little flavor.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I might, because I don't eat pork as much as I used to. Maybe like once a year, maybe. So I use smoked turkey. Yep, maybe once a year, too.
Wait. So you don't eat bacon?
You eat pepperoni pizza?
I know. I love bacon. Is good, isn't it?
Bacon
I know.
Is an essential part of life.
Bacon makes, as my husband would say, bacon makes everything taste better.
It does. And whenever I'm watching cooking shows or if I ever go to a cooking show-off show, like cook-offs, or if I go somewhere and there's a competition and somebody put bacon in there, I'm like, they're cheating because bacon makes whatever delicious. So it's like it's hard
yeah,
to.
They need to cheat.
Yeah, it does.
And they should, like, not be allowed to use bacon because it's just so good. And I get that. But you know how we've all seen.
I'm a good woman, and I don't believe in people cheating, except for what adding bacon to food, okay?
That's funny. That's a cheating. That's a cheater.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you what bacon do, and then we'll get back to you. I'm not going to take over your interview. So you know how bacon solidifies in that pickle jar on your grandmama's stove? You know that pickle jar of old grease that she saves?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It does the same things in your venules and your capillaries. And venules and capillaries are very, very tiny veins and very, very tiny arteries that go to your heart because they can solidify at room temperature like they do on the stove. So when you eat that bacon and then you eat that this and then you eat that that and you eat that that and you don't add vegetables, particularly when you don't add vegetables as well, it begins to solidify around your heart. And then
But my body is higher than room temperature.
No, that's why that's what leads all of the heart disease and stuff.
That's what leads to heart disease.
Yeah.
Like, hands down, it's not even debatable.
God.
They know,
no,
they see.
Oh, yeah.
So anti-bacon right now.
So I'm not necessarily saying you shouldn't eat bacon, which is what I used to say, but I have evolved.
Because this interview would be over right now.
Right.
I think turkey bacon is a little better.
And when you turkey bacon from real turkey, and what I mean is, like anything that you get in a grocery store, and I haven't seen, and depends on which grocery store you might go to, but the only time I see real turkey bacon, which looks nothing like the turkey bacon in the store, is when I go to my sister lives up north, and they have the Amish there where they actually raise and do the animal.
Oh, my God.
There's no real processing there. And it might look a little different.
Food.
Yeah, but that's real turkey. Another place you can get actual real turkey bacon is from a real butcher.
Yeah.
Anything other than that is cardboard bacon, turkey bacon. It's cardboard. It's not real meat.
Nope. It's not real meat.
Mm-mm. They add a bunch of fillers in there. They might add a little bit of meat in there. And I say that because if you ever see, first of all, real turkey bacon looks and cooks up almost, not exactly, but almost a lot like pork bacon.
Oh.
And so, you know, the stuff that we see in the store is flat and it looks mud. If you stop and look, like it looks like a hot dog flattened out. Think about it.
Turkey bacon looks just
like a hot dog flattened out.
Have you ever seen them? You should watch the show, like how food is made.
I should watch this. No, I should.
How food is made. I never heard of that one.
No, yeah, don't encourage her. She sent me this thing one time about some movie or something that was like some cows and like animals like from the Matrix. The Matrix, is that what you sent me that time?
Me?
Yes.
I always send you interesting and enlightening, which is what I do. So that sounds like something I would have, because like I said, I used to think you shouldn't eat meat. That was like 15, years ago or more. Now I'm like, quality matters. Whether we're talking about quality shoes, right, to adapt to quality food. And so what, you're going to kill the animal. You should still have, it should still have dignity, and it should still have, some type of quality to it. It shouldn't be full of junk just because you're going to kill it.
Well, how about you help our listeners move towards putting together a quality meal? Let's talk about this four-course meal that you wanted to share with us. Felicia, you want to ask her about that?
Oh, yeah, no problem. So we're talking about building all these lovely dishes with the greens and the fresh vegetables and farmers market. So, like, what would a four-course meal entail? What would you include in a basic four-course meal? I'm talking about meals for any person, basic meals they can do.
Well, maybe like a holiday. Something like, it's the holidays. What would be a good holiday meal?
Okay. Holiday meal, holiday party, holiday get-together. Sure. For appetizers, I will suggest, it's called the Flavors of the World Cheese Bite. And actually, all of these recipes are going to be online, so it'll make sense when you go in there. And this
we'll put a page up that'll have the links to everything you're talking about on this show. So
great, great, great. Yeah, it's going to have – this is perfect for people who, like myself, I love to cook and I love to go into a foreign farmer's market or a foreign grocery store and see foods that I never had before, all the way to people that's like my good friend Candace B. Because it's really – it's for entertainers or true cooks. It doesn't really matter.
Oh, okay, so I can do this. I can cook these things that you're going to tell us here today.
You can cook these. And it's super. And
my man will be happy about this.
Oh. And then this one is more like just prepping than it is really cooking. So, first of all, you're going to get the charcuterie, a platter, or any type of platter, but we have a charcuterie platter, and that's just basically when you have cheese, different types of cheese, different type of meats, you know, all on one platter. That's called a charcuterie platter, and we have one, and it's beautiful. It's actually an ash wood and driftwood mix, and then it has real slate that sits right on it. It's beautiful. The picture will be up. And so, anyways, different types of cheese. We're going to do flavor. It's called Flavors of the World because you have Mexican, French, Indian, and Korean. How fun is that? And I'm not sure if any of you know, have ever had kimchi before, which I love. But this one calls for mozzarella with a little bit of kimchi and red chili paste and lime zest. Oh, my God, that sounds delicious. And black sesame seeds, another plant. These are seeds particularly, but plant-based food that's very, very high in calcium. So you take those and you roll them, you mix them all together and you roll them around in balls. And you got kimchi, a Korean. Then you have the Indian one. You use white cheddar, mango chutney. If anybody eats Indian, they don't. They know. But if you don't eat Indian, try it out, especially if you like mangoes. So
oh, man, I love Indian food. And that mango chutney is the bomb. Can I say that?
You should try this one.
Oh my God! It's because it's an Indian. We got food trucks, and mm-hmm. they actually have a lady mix the chutney out of her house.
Oh wow!
Mango chutney is good, especially homemade.
What you're having right now, Felicia, is called a food orgasm. It's a food orgasm.
She did say, oh, God.
She did.
Food orgasm? That's a different conversation. Yes, that chutney. Like, I actually paid for extra. I'm like, I need some more. But then the lady likes me, so she only, I don't have to pay for any extra. I just get more.
Just get more. Okay. So when I'm cooking, let me say this right quick, because when I'm cooking and I like to put other people to know, think about your star food for the day or your star dish even. So the star food in this one I mentioned was the sesame seeds. Actually, there's nuts and seeds in each one of these cheeses. So the Korean had the sesame seeds. The Indian has some chopped cashew. The French has almonds or pecans. And the Mexican has pumpkin seeds. And they are also very high in calcium. They keep you satiated because they're very high in protein, and they are high in fat. People say they're high in fat. They're fat that the body's going to use. So fat that the body isn't going to use. So fat from a donut, fat from ice cream, fat from soda. When it gets into the body is like, okay, this is an inferior fat, and we don't know what to do with it. So you know what? Just go and store it in the thighs. It's okay. But when you eat fat, literally.
Tell me a cookie donut is not a superior fat?
Yeah, no. It don't store it in, it's stored in that lower gut, that lower part of your stomach.
Everybody's body is different. When you see that, when you see a person who has a big bottom or their love handles or some people in their arms, some people in their neck, their bodies store it in different places. But when you eat any one of these nuts, yeah.
Which nut will store the fat in my butt?
None of the nuts.
We want more fat in our butt. So, yes.
What's the booty seed? What's the booty nut? Okay.
I don't know a booty seed. I know a
booty seed. Okay.
No, see, that's another thing. When it comes to that body, I'm all about health only and exercise. So if you want something that's going to get that body right, it's most likely not nothing that you're going to take. It's something you want to do. So you can get on the floor and go up and down with your knees, do those squats. And when you come up, pinch, squat down, come up, pinch. Mm-hmm. That'll get them glutes nice and tight.
You said it's the nuts I throw on the ground and keep picking up over and over again.
Oh, you can do that too. That's fantastic. That's right. They're on the bottom of the floor. You can get one. You eat it on your way up. That's actually fantastic. I like that a lot.
Got it.
And you could throw a donut in. You know what? You could throw a donut under it. So you got to get to all those nuts first, and you got to keep doing all those squats before you get the reward.
I put that brownie underneath it.
After this show.
And I love that. And eating foods that are high in fiber and protein, they actually, both of them in their own right, but particularly together, they both assist with weight control. So that's fantastic. Yep. So that's the star. That's the star food. The star dish in this meal is the ash wood and the slate cheese serving plate, and I love it. And you'll see it when you're on there. It's entertaining for everyone. You don't really necessarily know how to cook. And if you were to get this as a set, because you can get them individually or you can get them as a set. And if you get them.
They're very nice. Does it come with the little, like, knife tool, too?
That comes with the whole set. That's ash wood as well. And because it's real, you can't microwave that. And you can't dishwasher that, and you can't let it sit in water because that's real wood, and real wood warps. And that's real slate as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And does it come with a little boxy thing underneath the bottom of it?
There's no boxy things, but you see that slate is curved.
These are woody things and slatey things, okay?
Yeah,
woody,
and slatey things.
Woody and slatey.
Yeah, and that oval right there, you see how the slate is oval? You can sit that against the ash wood itself and make it look like it's together, or you can sit it on anything. Let's say you make a punch bowl, you make a Christmas punch, you can write on with the soapstone chalk, you can write what that is. So those pieces are very versatile. They don't have to always go together.
I like this.
Oh, you can write with this.
You can write on it.
That's really nice. I think our listeners would like this.
Yeah,
all right,
me too.
So I'm liking this star food and the star tools. This is great.
Yeah. Always think of that when what's going to be my star food? We do that anyway, off the bat. Most Americans, we start with what's going to be my meat. And to us, that's our star food. You know what I mean? But change your star food around just a little bit. Lower your meat just a little bit. You know, you don't have to have, a 6-ounce steak. You can have a 4-ounce steak, something like that. But the next one, speaking of steak, the next one is not steak, but it is chicken.
Hmm. Oh, okay. So this is the main course. That the star food
is
the main course.
That was the appetizer.
And the next one is braised chicken with root vegetables. And right quick, because when I'm speaking to people who possibly don't know much about cooking, sometimes this is another thing that keeps people intimidated with the kitchen, fancy words. So braised, do either of you know what braised means? When you're braising something?
No, I was actually trying to figure out what the root vegetables were.
Is it the ingredients you're putting on it? How you cooking it?
So, braised is real simple, but it is like super, 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 like as far as flavor goes, it's the way to go. So braised is when you fry something, particularly meat, or it can be like hearty vegetables. But most of the time when people speak, they speak in meat. You fry it, you sear it really, really high to get that good crispy deliciousness on the outside of it, and then you take it out of the pot, and then you add your wine or your water. First you will like saute onions and in this case, let's just use these ingredients. In this case, you would do onions and carrots and mushrooms. You saute those in the grease, a little bit of oil. I like to use a seed oil that can take high heat, so that's avocado oil, which is good for the brain. Sunflower oil, good for the brain. Safflower oil, good for the brain. I like to use one of those because they can take high heat, and you want to get that good sear on it. You fry it, you take that out, and then because all the deliciousness, all the flavor from the meat you just seared will be in the oil, you saute your veggies. Then you just add a little bit of water, not a lot, or wine. In this case, it's going to be wine. And then you add the meat back to it, and then you let them cook slowly. And that's the secret to all well-seasoned food, believe it or not, braised food. Cooking it to get that flavor right quick and then letting it slowly cook. And it is, like, super, super good. You bake it, and it's just, like, delicious. So,
And people love my chicken. I do it for my chicken. So I put it in the oven at really, really high, like 450.
Mm-hmm.
And I make it, and I put a little barbecue sauce. It's not frying it, though. It's only oven bake. And I put barbecue sauce on it, and, like, all my seasons on it, and it, like, stick to it. It'd be good. And just,
it's delicious.
Then, after 30 minutes, I bring that heat down to about 350. And I let it cook for, like, another hour or so-ish. And so, but it's really good. Like, it's like I actually kind of the sauce is kind of part of the meat now. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you pretty much been braising.
We have been braising in the oven. I didn't do it on top of the oven, though.
But it's the same concept, basically.
Yeah,
you get that flavor from, that's where you get your flavor from.
It's
and you don't have to add a lot of salt, again, when you start pulling out the flavors of your food.
Well, see, I don't add any salt. I don't use a lot. I don't add salt because just the history of high blood pressure and just in my family and the people I know. So I try to stay away from salt.
That's a good point.
And, so I don't even buy salt.
Okay, that's great. What I do with my on my salt shaker is I have a little piece of thin tape. It's shaped like the letter S, and then I have P for pepper. So I put like a little thin piece of S on it. So when they're shaking, just by default, first of all, again, I don't even put salt while I'm cooking. And then when you put it on your plate, just a little bit of salt go in because it's not the full S, if you will.
Gotcha.
So that's great that you already know that because think about it. That means your son, by default, is not growing up with a bunch of salt in his diet because most likely anytime you eat anything outside of the home is full of salt, especially if it come out of a box because they need that preservative, they need that flavor. We've cut fresh foods at home and put them in the refrigerator and then tasted them a day or two later, and they always taste different. They don't taste as fresh. They don't taste as flavorful.
Yeah.
So, when you get it from outside and outside of your house, they have to add a lot of preservatives in it, whether it's salt or whether it's a man-made preservative. So in any event, another reason why I like this particular one is because I cook with color. Always cook with color. The more color you get, you have for dinner or in breakfast or lunch or what have you, the more you're covered with your vitamin minerals. Just know that.
That goes into explaining the root vegetables. Like what are these root vegetables you're talking about?
Exactly. So you have carrot, which is most orange and red. I want to say all, but I'll be safe to say most orange and red vegetables are very, very high in lycopene. That was basically makes them red. And I could say fight cancer, but literally know that every single fruit and vegetable you eat fights cancer, every single one. And a lot of it is marketing ploys, which they work. They're marketing ploys when they say, eat this new fruit, exotic fruit. It fights cancer this way. Eat this fruit. It fights cancer that way. It doesn't even matter. If it's a fresh fruit, it's going to help your body. And because it's helping your body, it's going to help fight cancer or any other illness. So we have onions, white. We have carrots. Onions are also very, very good for cleansing you out. We know that when we cut them. That's the onion's defense. See, if you were a tiny, tiny bug and you bit an onion, you wouldn't bite it again. So that's really the onion's defense. Then you have the carrots, which are orange. Then you have the brown mushrooms. Ooh, I love mushrooms. And you have garlic in here. Garlic is used to be my all-time high. It still is, like, the back burner. So now it's just a basic I have to have in my kitchen. But it's going to fight any cold or bacteria or fungus infection you have point blank, period. So you always want to have garlic in your meal almost every single night because you are being bombarded with bacteria and viruses all day long, like all day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is ginger also a good source of that too? I've heard ginger is good for that as well.
Yes, for cleansing, ginger is good for cleansing because it's so spicy. It's also good for arthritis because it helps with inflammation. Yes, it helps with inflammation and it helps with colds. And I like to have ginger tea, when I'm, period, but especially when we're sick and it's like full of congestion, which brings me to my next ingredient that's in here, which is thyme, ginger and thyme. Oh, my gosh. It's and especially if you can't taste because you're that sick and you can't even taste anymore, you can add that garlic in there and make a good tea with it. But thyme, which the main ingredient in thyme is thymol, it's a type of oil. Studies have shown this is not just faux studies. No, this is known. It kills bacteria and it kills fungi. It's very high in antioxidants and, believe it or not, vitamin C. It draws mucus right on up. Like if you have a cold, I promise you, have some thyme in that tea with some local honey. Got to be local honey.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll help draw it. And then this meal is almost like chicken soup to a degree. It's just prepared differently. But I'm looking at these vegetables. I'm looking at this chicken. So you'd be good to go as far as if you had a cold. So the star dish, though. Yes, the star dish is the clay pot that I absolutely love.
The tool? First, the star tool?
Yes, the star tool, I'm sorry. So it first of all, it heats to 750 degrees, so you can pretty much cook it in your oven and on the grill. But not only the grill, it takes five different heat sources, which is why I like this. You can put it in the oven, you can put it on the stove, you can put it in the grill, you can put it in Candace's favorite, the microwave.
And you could put it
in the broiler. So you could put it in the broiler in the beginning.
Wow.
A lot of people like that to get that crisp on the end. But if you're cooking it in something that you don't want to, it can't go in a broiler. You got to something for people who like to go from oven to broiler or oven to stove.
Uh-huh.
My mom used to do that, especially with her ribs. She used to boil them on the stove and then take them from the stove and then put them on the grill. And
wow.
It would be like, yeah, boil them in the pot and then take and put them on the grill. You don't have to do that.
No, you don't have to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, you take this.
Thank
yeah,
you.
It does everything. You can sear, you can braise, you can broil, you can boil, you can fry, you can simmer, you can microwave, you can bake, and you can slow cook in this one vessel. It's super awesome, and it retains heat. So, you know, a lot of time, again, for people who want to cook right quick, you don't want to cook it too early. Let's say it's 3 o'clock, you want to be somewhere at 8, you don't want to cook it too soon. But then it's best to cook it right now because none of the kids are home. You know, how am I going to keep it warm? How am I going to keep it warm? No. You cook it in this, it retains heat tremendously. And even better, I love this piece, even better, you can prep it in the morning. Put it in the refrigerator, come home, take it straight from the refrigerator and put it in any heat source. It will not crack. And we stand by our products.
Oh,
so if it does, you get a new one. And we pay for shipping.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's already pre-seasoned. I'm not sure if anyone has a cast iron pot, but sometimes if you get them and you have to pre-season them, it's not pre-seasoned. And the super plus, because I used to love my cast iron, I still do, still love my cast iron, but now that I've kind of graduated to this clay pot, it's not as nowhere near as heavy as cast iron, because I got big pots and pans of cast iron that I used to love. But now they're, like, heavy and they're cumbersome and they're in the way. And I told you, my kids have to – I start off asking my kids, are you eating tonight? Because anybody who say yes to eating tonight are helping cooking. So you better believe it. Or with the dishes. And
that's
so, you know,
funny.
We have these heavy – yeah, all these heavy pots and pans. We don't have those anymore. It's great for families. This particular one is the Dutch oven, but it comes in different ones. We even have a pizza one, a pizza stone.
Oh, yeah, for the pizza oven.
Oh, that's
really
cool.
Yeah, it's made from clay, and you can put pizza on the grill. But you can also put bacon on one side, eggs on one side, pancakes on another. It's super cool.
Oh, my gosh. You're making me so hungry.
In a good way.
In a good way. You're making me hungry in a good way for sure. Which makes me think, well, what is this third item, this dessert that you have on this menu that we're putting together?
Okay. So I am also all about repurposing and recycling and reusing, because rather we're talking about old shoes being passed down to a woman who can really, really use them and appreciate them more than you ever know, like me. And every time I get clothes for older women's kids or kids who are older than mine, and I get it for my children, I'm very, very thankful. So that's for reusing. But in this case, since it's Christmas, right, we are going to be repurposing the candy cane. Now, the red and white candy cane, yeah, the red and white candy cane, you're going to have too much of those. You just every year, we just do. And instead of throwing them away or getting mad because the kids just want to eat them and you keep finding them everywhere, you can make a holiday peppermint pie. And this is so fun, especially for people who, moms who want to take it to the classroom, because you can even have the, you know, kids collect the candy canes and make it there. It's super, super easy. And because I always add, like, little tips to how you can get all the deliciousness that you want and don't necessarily want to put all the, you know, quote, unquote, for lack of a better word, bad stuff. So, for instance, this crust calls for graham cracker crust. Now, I'm sure some of you would know that there's the good graham cracker, nice and sugar-coated, sugar and cinnamon and delicious.
Yeah.
And then there's
yeah.
the graham cracker that tastes like a cardboard box.
Oh, there's a bad graham cracker, okay.
Yeah, right. We usually avoid that one, but that's the one you want. Yeah, that's the one you want for this recipe, and that's what you want for almost all your recipes. Because you're going to add, first of all, we already know the peppermints are sweet. And then you're going to be adding sugar and butter and chocolate and whipped cream. Like, you're adding all, and vanilla pudding, you're adding all this deliciousness to this pie. You don't need the cinnamon sugary. And then they're cheaper. The cardboard box tasting ones, they're
uh-huh.
cheaper. So you're going to get that crust. You're going to get you real butter. Margarine does not belong in your refrigerator. So what real butter is fattening, it doesn't destroy your heart, which margarine does. So you're going to get you some real graham. You're going to get you the plain graham crackers, some real butter. If you want to get you some turbinado, that's the best thing to do. Turbinado is, turbinado is just raw sugar. That's not bleached or anything like that. So it's normally brown. And many people might see brown sugar and like, what is that? But that's why, because if you've ever seen sugar cane, then it's a plant. And by the time you process it, it's like brown, like the plant, the stalk itself. You're going to make that crust, and then you're going to get the fillings. Now, believe it or not, the star ingredient in this peppermint pie, actually, I change it around a bit because that's what I do. They call for semi-sweet chocolate. Yeah, right? They call for semi-sweet chocolate chip.
Okay.
You want to get dark chocolate chip.
Oh, okay. What's the difference between the semi-sweet and the dark chocolate?
Okay, so dark chocolate has no sugar in it. And the darker it is, the more bitter it is, albeit, but the more healthier it is. Because, again, chocolate comes from a cocoa bean grown on a tree. Anything that most things that we can eat that grow from a tree has benefits to us. In this particular instance, dark chocolate is very, 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 very high in antioxidants. And now, dark chocolate itself is not fattening. Milk chocolate is, because remember, cow milk is designed to make baby cows fat, just like our milk is designed to make our babies fat and plumpy and delicious and cute. But when you do dark chocolate and it has no milk in it, just a little bit of sugar in it, but you don't need to add the semi-sweet, which means it has a little bit of sugar in it, because this recipe has candy canes. The crust has sugar in it. You're going to have whipped cream on here. You're going to have vanilla pudding. Get you some of that. So that's going to be your star ingredient. And then you know, while you're eating it, that it has high in antioxidants. And antioxidants, just for people who may not know right quick, they help kill free radicals that get into our body and literally hijack our cells for oxygen, literally, which is why they're so bad, which is why whenever you see foods labeled as high in antioxidants, you want that. Not too many foods in a box. They might put that in a box, on a box, but it's mainly anything that grows. So you want to get those antioxidants in, and if you can get those antioxidants in by eating dark chocolate, then that's the way you want to get them in. I'm all for it. You also want to use, did I say frozen whipping cream topping?
You mentioned that you can make your own whipped cream. That sounds interesting.
Oh, my goodness. We have an apparatus, if you will. It's called the Whipped Cream Maker, 30 seconds flat. I've had several parties because we host Pampers Chef parties, which we'll get into. So we have several parties, and I give people a whisk. Because some people are like, I either use a whisk or I use my mixer. My mixer is faster than my whisk. I've gotten both, the whisk and the mixer. And then we got the whipped cream maker. You pump, 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 whipped cream in 30 seconds, and it's real milk. And it's so rich because you use heavy whipping cream. It's so rich you don't need a lot. That's the same thing, as a matter of factly, that's the same thing with dark chocolate. When you get the real deal and it's so rich, you really don't need a lot. And it's delicious.
If
you have several tools.
You're excited right now. I'm starting to feel like I might have the ability to do these things. I feel like my inner chef is slowly getting unlocked.
Yeah. She had me when she said real butter. I was like, I can do this all day.
Yes, you have to trust that inner chef. So the star dish.
She had you with that last. Okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead. She had me with that last. Tell me.
Oh, no. That's
chocolate.
Yes, with the chocolate. Felicia is addicted to chocolate.
Chocolate because it's very, very bitter, like you said. But
Felicia is addicted to chocolate and Chipotle.
Mm.
Okay, I had to stop at Chipotle after the incident they had earlier this year. But chocolate, I don't know.
So do you not? I didn't hear you. Do you not like dark chocolate or you do?
I really don't.
So what you can do is, and I'll tell your listeners this, because you got to wean yourself from that milk chocolate as best you can if, you know, you have other concerns such as weight or health.
Who don't?
Some people don't. I know many people like, I don't care. Many people, when they see me walking in the room, they're like, I don't care. I like it.
Oh, well, no, I do care.
I don't
even eat it anymore.
I'm just letting you know, in the less than an hour, you've tried to take away my bacon, my chocolate, and all my dreams.
And all my dreams is funny.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I want you to do, sister girl. Going to go and you're going to look for dark chocolate that says 55%. It's on there. You just never paid attention to it. Mm-hmm. Up to 70. I can do 82. I can do one square of 82. I'm no, But you want to start with 55. Most milk chocolate is like 20 to 35%.
Right. Okay.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Start with 55 and then get the ones that like might have almonds in it, or it might have dried cranberry, some type of natural sweet in there.
Got you.
And I promise you, for one, because you're not used to it, you wouldn't even be able to eat that whole bar, and that's your goal.
Right.
Instead of trying to say, I'm not going to eat that whole bar, and then
right.
our kids do something to stress us out, and we need that bar, right? Get something that once it hits the spot sooner. And that dark chocolate, I could finish a bar of 55 because I like dark chocolate, but at first I couldn't. And that's the thing, my threshold has gone up. So yeah, you're going to try that dark chocolate. And they have them in the little morsels. You'll see them. They have dark chocolate.
Got you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try, like, with baking. Yeah, when, like, I'm baking. I really got away from the candy bars. Like, that isn't even bought. But I am a cake and cookie person and brownies.
They're
my God.
They're so inviting. They're like little bits of joy.
It's like they dance.
Are.
They glitter. They dance.
Little bits
totally
of joy is
hilarious. I understand the issues that Alice in Wonderland had. Like, eat me. Yes. Yeah, like, that's what they just sit there. Like, eat me. Eat me. I
like
the cookie.
Like, I dream in chocolate.
They have done. I like the brownies, too. And Giraldi has a dark chocolate brownie.
Okay.
So you could start with that to taste the difference. It's more rich, and you won't even be able to eat as many brownies. And anything that will stop me from eating as many brownies but still be good, I'm all for it. Like, totally. Let's talk about these tools.
Tools.
I know, and I want to go into the tools. We're going to put the tools up on the page. But I want to make sure we get to the fourth item before we run out of time today on the show.
Oh, okay.
And so the fourth course is
the fourth course is
here is
the apple cider sangria, which I love, and it's so festive. Now I'm going to tell you, this recipe calls for pomegranates, but right now, especially since this is the season, you can use fresh cranberries, fresh cranberries. Very good for the kidneys, and very pretty in here. In this drink, you have oranges. You have cranberries, you have apples, and you have cinnamon. Cinnamon make it being my star food. It's great for diabetics because it helps control blood sugar. And that's fantastic. If you want to eat sugar, then you need to have a tactic, if you will, that slows it down from getting in your body and not causing such a quick rise and then just a fast crash.
So cinnamon
and
does this? Or the whole
cinnamon
thing
does this.
Cinnamon, okay. I was
yes, look it up.
Just that one ingredient, the cinnamon, or all of it together makes it.
Well, no, just cinnamon itself. Now, I was just saying that
in
this sangria, although you're having a little bit of wine, you can justify because you have apples in here, you have oranges in here, and these are fresh apples, fresh oranges,
exactly,
and local honey.
That's exactly what I'm justifying drinking this sangria. Like, and saying to my doctor, oh, this is good for my sugar.
It really is. Check it out. It really is. So the star dish in here, tool is the quick stir pitcher, which I love. Again, Candace, entertainers, you don't have to know how to make sangria from scratch.
I do
so
a very good party.
Yes. For one, this container is BPA-free, which it's already been out. BPA is a hormone disruptor. It's designed so instead of stirring, you plunge, and that helps melt sugar faster because you can make hot or cold drinks in here. And it helps stir everything up just perfectly. And one of my favorites is it go in the dishwasher. So
I know we didn't touch on the cost of any of the other items, but I want to mention this one because this one is definitely, I mean, that's not saying anything else was like out of anybody's reach, but this quick stir pitcher is only around $20. So that's a great gift idea and a great gift to yourself. So
it is a great gift to yourself. And the kids love plunging. Remember, you drinking juice tonight? Okay. Not Kool-Aid. We graduated from Kool-Aid. You making some juice tonight? Okay. Well, I wish they love to plunge.
They
get
do.
Their
okay.
plunge on.
I was going to say, I was imagining a bunch of, like, starving, thirsty kids because they didn't want to do any of this work. Okay, cool. So we're about out of time here.
Yeah.
And I think that we've done, this has been a really great trip down the ability to turn, you know, my non-existing, you know, cooking school skills into, you know, really making me like, I feel like you've unlocked my inner chef. What do you think, Felicia?
Hopefully, and you will eat less frozen pizzas. Oh, and Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. Wow. So actually, I've stopped eating frozen pizzas, but it's a very long story about why I don't eat the frozen pizzas anymore.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with the fact that I don't want to eat them anymore. I'm an open protest to the fact that they don't make them in circles anymore. They're all squares. But it's a long story.
Okay.
It's always messing with me because, like, you know how like, people are like, oh, I like making pizza at home, right? But I like making pizza at home, but I like the cheapest pizza that they have. Like, I like
right.
the $1 pizza because it reminds me of the pizza we had in high school. I don't know. It feels like I'm going
but that's how we're like, it's so easy to make homemade pizza. Like, it's like, so
it
good.
Really is. And we have a great pizza stone. We have the one I told you to go on the grill. We have a regular
uh-huh.
one. But nowadays, you can go and buy the dough itself.
Right. Or, yeah, you can do that. Or, like, I use the tortilla, like, with whole grain tortillas. Like, I try to be a little healthy.
Okay.
And, they're really thin. I don't like tomato base, so I put maybe some cheese on the bottom. We just kind of make it however.
Felicia is mm-hmm. always trying to convince me of her bougie fresh meals. I'm not doing all that stuff, okay?
Look, we have to
Felicia.
Live and survive.
Okay,
so
I might do it now that this, you know, expert pampered chef over here has gotten me up there, you know, unlocking my inner chef. But anyway, I'm going to let Felicia wrap it up, okay?
Yes. So at the end of every show, we ask all of our guests, I love this question. I came up with this question. Candace, whatever. Keep in mind that your voice ties into your purpose. So please tell our listeners in a few words as possible what my name is blah, my voice is blah, and make sure it's connected to your purpose in life.
Okay. My name is Sadiqua, and my voice is inspirational.
Mm-hmm. I would definitely do that.
Thank you.
So thank
That's
you.
One person. Yeah.
Thank you. We have been talking to Sadiqua Williams, and she has been letting us know how we can be delicious and how we can take these recipes, tools, and tips and empower our inner chef. We really appreciate all the information you've been sharing with us today. It's been such great information, and our listeners really enjoyed it. And we'd love to have you back on soon.
Yay, I would love to be back soon.
Great.
I would. Thank you very much. Thank you to all your listeners. Yep, they can log on. Oh, particularly for Sister Girl News, they will go to, that's on the site, right? PamperChef.com.
Yes, the site that they can go to find this information would be to find out all about all the tools we've been talking about. And they get the special discounts that you set up for our listeners. They need to go to www.PamperChef.com/go/Sister Girl News. And to our listeners, of course, you know, we will post a recap of this show, including all the links that we've talked about, to all the recipes, and also to the special Pampered Chef portal that Sadiqua Williams has set up for us. You can find that information by going to our website, which is www.sistergirlnews.com. Again, it's www.sistergirlnews.com, and you will be able to replay the show there again as well. And to make sure that you're following us on social media. We are on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, and Twitter. And remember, the keywords to use there are Sister Girl News. And we'll also post a link to these recipes on our Facebook page later today. And, of course, remember, Sister Girl News is a place where every woman has a voice. And we want you to come and join in and share in those discussions that we have. And for the Sister Girl News Radio show here on Blog Talk Radio, please invite your friends to join us too. Until then, we hope that you have a great week. And remember, like we said before, Sister Girl News is a place where every woman has a voice. So feel free to share it. Thanks, Felicia. Thanks, Sadiqua.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Bye.